Everybody, it's another day in the year of 2025. I was writing something yesterday in a notebook and I was dating it, and I put the date 2024 at the end, and I said, oh sorry, we're in 2025 now. And we've blinked and 1 month has passed already. Before we know it, it's going to be our Christmas party where all of you will dance the whole year into oblivion. I was like, man, this CFT Bristol people, they love to celebrate. Don't worry, we'll have loads of that this year. Okay, so this morning I'm starting a new series that I've called Loving the Right Way. Loving the Right Way. And I have a big smile on my face this morning because I was just thinking that in our culture at the moment, love sells quite a lot. I remember when I was growing up a bit, you'd have all these, Netflix and all these things didn't exist then. So there were just like a few movies. And a lot of those movies were like really romantically based films. There's one that comes to mind. If you don't know this one, don't worry. It's probably way beyond your time. I remember there was this film that was like really popular. I was quite young then, called Gone with the Wind. If you don't know that film, just don't worry at all. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, don't worry. And I remember that, I'm sure one of my sisters won't listen to this message. And I'd be, would be in this like living room. And I think I must have been about 6, 7. I have like quite a few older sisters, a bunch of them, and they'll be crying watching that film. They'll be crying. They'll be like, oh, what happened? What's going to happen to, what was the name of that lady? O'Hara?
Scarlett.
What? You know that film? What's happening to Scarlett? And they'll be crying. I'm like, what's up with this older sisters of mine? Please turn it to Bruce Lee so we can watch some action movies. So, love actually sells. So this is February, just give it a few days. In fact, what am I even saying, give it a few days? You should take a walk around Cabot Circus. All the ads that you see now will be like Valentine's Day, buy this, buy that. So love really sells. And love is really important. So what are we looking at this month? What are we looking at this month as it relates to this topic, loving the right way? We're going to look at a number of things over the next few weeks. I suspect that this will take us into the month of March. We're going to look at, as much as possible, every aspect of love that you can think about. We'll look at, what does it mean to be single? We'll look at love in marriage, love between parents and their kids. So we'll just try and look at every area as much as possible so that we can answer some of the questions that are in our heart from a biblical perspective. Amen.
Amen.
Can you turn to the person who's next to you and say, when Pastor Benson is preaching about love, don't worry, you won't cry. It's not going to be like Gone with the Wind. And if you want to cry, you're allowed. I don't know why some of the women are just so excited this morning. The men are keeping a straight face. The men are just, you know how men are? Men will just keep a straight face and pretend like everything I'm saying they don't understand, but they understand deeply. They're just hoping that their wives will not tell them, did you hear what Pastor Benson said in church today? So what did Pastor Benson say? I remember the announcement. I remember that the choir was there, but every other thing is a blank to me. Just tell them that it's recorded. It's on the website. No escape. Now, on a more serious note this morning, I want to start this series, Loving the Right Way, from a slightly different angle this morning to lay the foundation of what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to be looking at the story in the Bible from the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 24, talking about a story that we might be familiar with, called the story of the prodigal son. Now, you might be wondering, hang on, what does that have to do with loving the right way? We will see in a moment. But first of all, let me read that portion of scripture. You can turn with me. You can turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. Or you can just listen as I read. I'm reading the NIV version. Okay, they've got it on the screen as well. It says, Jesus continued. Jesus was telling a story here. He said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So in this story, we see a young man wakes up one day, goes to his father and tells his father, look, give me my own share of the inheritance. His father wasn't even dead. And I was just thinking that as a father, how would that make you feel? Where you're sitting down, you're having tea, and your son comes to you and he says, Father, give me my inheritance now. Give it to me. I'm sure the father must have been wondering, hang on, I'm not dead. Are you wishing that I die? So the father must have been quite concerned. Actually, I think the father must have been quite hurt as well. Above everything, he must have been thinking, wow, I remember when you were born. I remember the struggles I went through. I remember when you were ill as a child. I remember when your mom looked after you. I remember when we cleaned your diapers. I remember when you didn't even know your left from your right. We took you to primary school, secondary school. We struggled to make ends meet and all that. And is this how you're going to repay me? Is this all that is on your mind? To take half of what I have? Do you not care about me? Is this what I am to you? Can you imagine how his father must have felt? I think very disappointed. We read on that portion of scripture, the Bible says that he not only did that, he cashed in everything, removed all the money from the bank account, sold, if it was a car or two cars they gave him, he sold everything, and his father was looking at him. Like, what's up with this guy? Sold everything and flew one way to Dubai. Looked for the most expensive. I don't know when I mentioned Dubai, you guys are excited. When I say, if I had said, flew to Iran, Afghanistan, you guys would just be silent. That some people will even say, let me not say that while I'm being recorded. That's not my portion. That's not my portion. But when it's Dubai, yes, it's your portion. Sold everything and went to Dubai. Stayed in that hotel. You guys must know that I haven't been to Dubai yet, but if, for example, you're like, oh, Pastor, what would be suitable for your birthday? What would you like, Pastor? What really? Well, I'll just be like super humble about that. Let me just, maybe I should delete this part of the message out. I just say that, well, nothing much. I just want a place that when I'm praying, I feel closer to heaven. And to do that, there's a penthouse in that tall building in Dubai. That would do. So that I can be, you know? So this guy sold everything and he went out. The Bible says he blasted everything, squandered everything. Then there was a famine in land. There was a recession. He looked at his bank accounts, everything empty. All the friends that he used to party with, they left him. They're like, man, this guy, you don't have any money anymore. see ya. Then he is almost starving. And he goes to a farm. And this farm is a pig farm. And they're like, okay, just, you know, go there, clean up the pigs and all that. And that was what he was doing. To the point that the things that the pigs were eating, I don't know what they eat. He was like, man, I wish I could have some of that. And they said, if you eat that food, you're gone. Don't even think about it. The only thing you're allowed is this 2 slices of bread in the morning and water, and that's your meal for the day. This guy saw that life isn't always greener on the other side. Is it life? The grass isn't always greener. So this was the journey of his life. Then I read on from the same Luke chapter 15, verse 17. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And I am starving to death. And he says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. So this young man gets to a point where he's like, I've had enough. I can't take this any longer. And he makes up his mind that I'm going to go back to my father. At least if my father can just take me as a hired servant, I'll have food to eat. I won't be starving in Dubai. He gets to the point where he realizes that, look, I've made a big mistake here. And he sets out. Verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So this boy gets up and begins to go back home. Interesting thing happens. The Bible says that his father saw him from afar. That means his father must have been looking out for him. When is this my son going to come back? He said when his father saw him, he had already rehearsed what he was going to say. You know? He had rehearsed what he was going to say. He was going to say, Dad, you know, I'm not worthy, and all these things. And his father saw him and ran towards him. His father didn't just wait for him to arrive. The Bible says he ran towards him, hugged him. He didn't even stop there. The Bible says that he said, look, this is a cause for celebration. And the father begins to celebrate him. Now, I'm sure this young boy must have been really shocked. If it was you, what would you have done, sincerely speaking? If you're someone you've looked at after for a long time, say, look, maybe your child, nephew, niece, or even someone that you've helped in the past, and they literally turn and treat you as if you have done nothing in their lives, and the only thing that you're good for is your money, basically. How would you feel? If they came back and they said, I'm sorry, this is what I did, forgive me, and they've emptied your bank account, how would you respond? How would you respond? I remember, I don't know if I've told this story before, I'll just keep it high level. There was a long time ago when we just started coming to Bristol, my family and I then, We met this person. I'm going to keep it politically correct. It's like, who's that person, Pastor? Don't worry, they're not here. So we met this person, and we got to know them. And this individual had serious challenges with their marriage. At the end of the day, they were not in a good space with that. The guy got kicked out of his house. Nowhere to live. His job, they fired him. I mean, everything was just falling apart for this individual. And my family and I then, we met this person and we're like, okay, let's, you know, this has happened, that has happened, no problem, but, you know, God can help sort all these things out. We now said, okay, come and stay with us for a while in our house in West London then. We'll try and, you know, get some money so you can rent a place and all those things. And I remember that month we had a mortgage to pay. And we now, he found a place, this person found a place. And they said, oh, you need a deposit of so-so-so and a rent of so-so-so. And he didn't have it. We didn't really have it. So I looked at my late wife then. I used to do a lot of really, let me not say crazy things, things that didn't really make sense. And she just bore with my little quirks. I said, you know what? This person has been looking for a house. At least they found one now. They were looking for a job. They found the job, but they're not going to pay them till like the end of the month. And this house, we've been, you know, looking for a while. So we took our mortgage for that month and gave that individual to pay. I now had to tell the mortgage company that, sorry, we missed this. I'm not saying you should do this, by the way. Did you get what I mean? I now had to call the mortgage money and say, we missed the mortgage for this month. The amount, spread it, we'll repay. We'll pay extra and clear the arrears on that. This individual got back, got a job and all that, moved. They stayed with us for a bit, then they moved and started staying in their place. Then suddenly, I didn't hear from this person anymore. Called. No answer. I was actually quite concerned. I hope this individual is fine. For weeks, we went to the address that we knew that they were at. This individual had vanished. Then one day, after about 3-4 weeks, I called this individual. At this time, we're praying, like, we hope this person is fine. This guy, did I say guy? Okay, the guy picks up the call. I'm like, how are you? How are you doing? Where have you been? We've been looking all over for you. And he says, oh, sorry, I've been busy. You've been busy? Are you fine? Yeah, I'm fine. I've just been busy. And I got your calls. But anyway, by the way, I need to go now, Pastor. Take care. Bye. This was how I was on my phone. I was like, I mean, is something okay here? Bye. Oh, everything is fine. And yeah, just, you know, bye. I mean, yes. I said, is that in my mind? I was like, is this all you have to say? So they were busy. They didn't have time. And bye. I'm busy, Pastor. You know, how would you feel? You know, that evening, I was so hurt. Things have happened to me. Some other things happened with this individual. And that evening, I went to God and I said, God, in this particular matter, no problem. But this individual, I'm going to block them, delete their number from my phone. Block them, anything, they should just stay in their lane and all those things. And after I finished that, I was so distraught. I just went into the kitchen, fried one big chicken or something, loads of ice cream, Coca-Cola, ate it, drank, and I said, God, I'll see you tomorrow. I slept off. Why are you laughing? That's what they call, is it comfort food or something? Is it comfort food? That's what I did. That I was so touched. In my mind, I said, the next time I see this individual, because I'm a pastor, obviously, I can't, you know, I just have to be civil, but nothing to do with this person again. So I was just wondering that, that's even little. Can you imagine how this father must have felt? I don't know. But the Bible now begins to tell us something about this man, his father, that he rushed, hugged him, and said, let us even celebrate that you're back. Do you understand? This guy now rings, he now sends me a message some months later. Oh, pastor, I need some help. This, I know that you're the only one that understands me that I can talk to. In my mind, I said, God, as a pastor, I didn't block his number. You know, I can't block people's numbers as pastor. You know, like, they say it's like, it's very, no, I can't. I mean, I just have to bear with. I can't, I think maybe I blocked and unblocked. Block. Then like, Pastor B, you can't block it. Unblock the number. In my mind, I say, God, no need to even answer this one. I knew what God put in my heart. He said, Pastor B, you're going to help this guy. He's going to ask you for some money to do one or two things. You're going to give him that money. You're going to go to him. You're going to find out how he's doing. And you're going to forgive him. And I said, I can't do that. I can't do it. Why should I do it? Why should I do that kind of thing? At least I haven't harmed him. Why should I do that? I said, this one, I can't do it. Do you get what I mean? But I know for you guys, these kind of thoughts don't come to your mind. If it was you, I've said, oh, don't worry, my brother. I'm good. You guys are not like me then. You guys are like super spiritual. If God says, in fact, just, I said, God, this one. So looking at the story of this man, you're now wondering, how did he do it? Anybody, by the way, I ended up, we're friends now, me and the guy, ended up doing all those things with great difficulty. With great difficulty. And it's happened to me with other people as well, so no big deal. You get used to it. So the question is this. This man loved his son the right way. What is loving the right way? Loving the right way is where, irrespective of what an individual has done to you, irrespective of your feelings towards that individual, you can still extend mercy, forgiveness, and love. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't draw boundaries. If someone has stolen from you, you're not just going to say, okay, I've forgiven, here's my bank details. No, you don't do that. You draw your boundaries still. So we're not saying let people keep offending you. I mean, that gentleman, I mean, there are certain things that, I mean, he's not going to come and stay in my house anymore, any of this, but I'll still be as much as I can help. So we draw boundaries. I'm not saying just let people keep having a go at you. No. But I'm just saying that, how can you and I love in this manner? So Jesus was making a point here. Jesus was making a point to say that this is how the Father loves us. God gives us an example about how to love the right way. God gives us an example that, look, love is not just butterflies in your tummy. Love isn't just when the individual that your love is directed towards is behaving properly towards you. Love isn't just when things are going good and this individual is being there, living up to your expectations. Love goes beyond that. And you know what the interesting thing is? God says that is the kind of love that we all need. That's the kind of love that we all need. We all want to be loved the right way, where, irrespective of what we've done, when we're sorry sometimes, we want the person who has loved us to continue to love us. We want them to forgive us. We want them to realize that, look, irrespective of that thing that I did, I still want you to love me the right way. So I'm going to mention a few things this morning. And I'm now thinking, how did this man get to the point where he could love the right way? How can we get to the point where we are able to love the right way as well? I have a few points to make this morning. Then after that, I will close my case this morning. So I look at five things this morning that I suspect helped the man, his father, to be able to love this boy the right way. And would also help us to begin that journey to really love the right way as well. And this will be the foundation of love for us. The foundation of love in whatever relationship we find ourselves in. The foundation of love for how we deal with our spouses. The foundation of love of how we deal with our children. The foundation of love of how we relate to one another. So I look at five things this morning which I believe help the man. So the first is this. I believe that this father separated the boy from his behavior. What I mean is this. You know, someone might have an off day. Maybe they're annoyed, something has annoyed them. And you interact with them at that point and they go off on you. What are you doing? Maybe they even snap at you and all that. Well, you can either have this perspective that, oh, this person is having a bad day. It's not really, you know, I'm going to separate this behavior. This behavior is different from them, and you're able to deal with them. You know, they brought a woman caught in adultery to Jesus, and they said, should we stone her? In fact, we need to stone her. At the end of the day, Jesus was able to forgive that woman and said, look, there's no one judging you. Go and sin no more. So Jesus was able to separate the woman from her sin. If we're going to be able to love the right way, we need to be able to separate people from some of the unpalatable behaviors that they do. Do you understand? It's just like, for example, we do this with kids a lot. I mean, if you're like a mom or an auntie and all that, they give you like, you have like a six-month-old baby. And you're coming to church, you've worn your white dress and all that, you've packed them up, you've packed everybody in the car, you don't want to be late, you want to make it to church for 10:30 in the morning, and you're just about to go, and this, you've dressed up the baby's 6 months old, and the baby just looks at you, and you're like, why is the baby looking at me like this? And just pees all over you. You know? And smiles. You know? What do you do? You might be a bit upset. Oh, this child, why did you, you know? But you take the child in, you clean the child up, and you forget about it, and you carry on. You don't tell the child, for the next 1 year, you, six-year-old, you peed on me on this day. You are a bad child. Do you do that? You don't. Why? Because you separate the child, the person of the child, from that interesting behavior. Do you understand? So the man was able to do this with his son. If you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God looked at us and he said, these people, they don't love me, they don't care about me, they're misbehaving, but I'm going to separate the nature of sin from them and I'm going to pay the price. I believe he was able to do this. Separating that person from whatever bad behavior they might be having or they might be exhibiting. So he was able to do this. The second thing is this. He didn't force his love on this young boy. This man must have really loved his son. But he didn't say, you must do exactly, I'm your father, you must do exactly what I want. You don't appreciate my love. You are unappreciative and you must do, you know. He did not force his love on this boy. He said, well, probably, you know I love you. This isn't the right thing to do. You have an inheritance here. You have a life here. The boy said, no, you're holding me down, Dad. You're old school. I need to live my life. The father didn't force his love on the son. Instead, he wanted to get to the place where his son's love will be reciprocated voluntarily. So there are times that sometimes we are like demanding people, demanding love from people. We're demanding obedience from people. Now, if we have kids, obviously we have to put them aright. You know, don't do this and all that. That's wrong. But I'm talking about that. I'm talking about where we feel that we deserve better from an individual and we almost enforce it. You can't force someone's love. As painful as it might seem, if they're not reciprocating the love you're expecting at that time, you might need to just let it go. You might need to let it go and let them be. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 22, 37, it says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So this father did not allow hurt to arise in his heart because his son did not reciprocate that love at that time. And like, I've shown you love. I've done this for you. This is what I get from you. You know, I work hard. I look after you. I've given you this. I've given you that. I've done that. And is this all I get? And we develop a kind of hurt because we're expecting or almost demanding that reciprocity of love. Now, am I saying we shouldn't expect to be treated and loved in response? Yes, we want that. It would be abnormal if we didn't. But what I'm just saying is that if one isn't getting it at that point, then you can't force it. You have to leave it alone and just hope that this person in the future would reciprocate it. So he let the son go. Said, okay, if this is what you really want to do, go ahead. So he didn't force love on his son. The third thing, I'm looking at five things that I believe might have helped this man. The man saw the bigger picture and was focused on getting his son to fulfill the destiny that God had for him. Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So the third point here is this. The man saw the bigger picture that, look, irrespective of what this boy is doing now, I will bear with it. All I want is to get this guy back in line so that he can fulfill God's eternal purpose for him. What do I mean by that? There are times that in the context of love, we are so fixated on the situation. Rightly so. It's like this person is doing this. I'm having this challenge with this person. And we forget everything around that person. That this is someone that God has the plan for. This is someone that God loves and God wants to see a future for. But we are sometimes just so fixated. It's like trying to solve this problem with this person not behaving properly and all that, and we just lose sight of the bigger picture as it relates to this individual. So his father realized that, look, this guy has misbehaved, no problem. He's doing what he's doing, but there's a bigger picture. I will focus on that bigger picture. Waiting for this boy to come back. So it might be in a marriage where husband and wife, they're having conversations and it's like getting a bit hot. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture. The fourth point, which is an interesting one. The fourth point, his father extended mercy to him where he didn't deserve it. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103 verse 10, it says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. The natural thing is that we want to punish the people who have hurt us. Punish is a strong word. So I'll change it to a slightly more politically correct word. We want to ensure that they learn their lesson. Is that too strong? Learn their lesson. That's mild. We want to ensure that they understand the seriousness of what they have done to you. So they must pay penance. They must walk on broken glass on the streets to satisfy our conscience. We must torture them. We won't give them, we'll make sure that we clear all the food in the fridge so that they don't have lunch. We will make sure that we give them cold treatment so that they will know that, look, this thing that they have done has really hurt you. We will ensure that we don't pick their cup or we decline. Decline. So that they will know and they will feel how much they have offended us. God says, to love the right way, he wants us to extend mercy. Not because that person deserves your mercy. We don't deserve God's mercy at all. And the Bible says in Psalm 103 that we read that he does not treat us as we deserve. If God treated you as you deserve, you and I would not be here. So loving the right way includes extending mercy. Mercy to the people who have wronged us. Mercy in our relationships. Mercy in our friendships. And finally, his father always hoped for the best for him, despite the pain that this boy caused his father when he left home with all he did. Romans chapter 4 verse 18 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. So Abraham was in a situation where it seemed hopeless. It seemed like, well, this is the end. Everything that God has spoken concerning me will never happen. Everything that God has spoken concerning this boy has gone to waste. But his father had hope for the future. He kept hope alive for this boy, even when he had absolutely nothing to show that that hope was going to come to pass. Against all hope, the Bible says, he kept his hope alive. So what am I saying this morning as I close? There is a way that we can love, right? We can love the February 14th way, which is the Valentine's kind of love, which I absolutely love as well. We can love that way, which is great. It's a romantic kind of love. And I encourage it. If you're married, but if any boy just comes from this thing and you're in secondary school, just tell them that your pastor said that. Anyway. So it's encouraged. You know, we can be. But that's just a part of it. To love the right way, God says we must push beyond just that romantic kind of love, which is good. We must try and love the right way like this man loved his son. And one, his father separated the son from his behavior. Number two, he did not force his love on his son. Number three, the father saw a bigger picture. Number four, his father extended mercy. And number five, again, he wished his son the best. He hoped the best for his son. So this morning I'm saying, how do we love the right way? This is the beginning of it. So as we look at other things like, what does it mean to be single? What does it mean to be married? What does it mean when your relationship is not the way you want it? What does that mean? How can you love the right way in that context? We'll look at that as we go along this month. I would just like us to pray this morning. I'll ask that we rise for a moment. You know, on the internet, on YouTube, you can see, just Google love something. There's so many teachings on love, so many teachings on romance, marriage, spouse, and all these things. And a lot of those teachings are great. But one thing I can actually tell you is this. If we do not get the foundation of what it means to really love the right way, all those things, they won't work. They won't work, I tell you. So that's what we're doing this morning. This morning, you and I want to pray. And the prayer I would ask that we pray this morning is that God, help me to love the right way. Help me to love the right way. As difficult as it might be, as painful as it might be, loving the right way is painful, I tell you. This man must have felt the pain of his son disappointing him. So loving the right way involves pain. It involves disappointment. It involves being in a situation that is extremely uncomfortable. It involves anger. It involves sadness. But loving the right way will push you through all these things. And you know what? At the end of the day, you will experience the joy of that love. Father, help us to love the right way. Jesus, thank you for showing us the way to love. Father, I pray for your people this morning. I'm asking that every hurt, every pain that they have experienced from loving, Lord, I'm asking that you, the balm in Gilead, will bring healing to it in the name of Jesus. Help us to choose to love the right way. Father, I'm asking that you will bring healing to the hearts of everyone who might be hurting this morning from a relationship, from someone that has disappointed them. Lord, we ask for healing this morning. Healing this morning. Father, healing this morning. You, the balm in Gilead, healing this morning. Strength, strength this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Immortal, invincible God, only wise. You have said that your grace is sufficient for us. I know that loving the right way is something that requires supernatural strength. It is not natural. It's not something that we can do on our own. Lord, I'm asking, oh God, that you will help every one of us here to be able to love the right way. Father, for those who have been hurt by one thing or the other, Lord, I ask for your healing upon every heart. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.